This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Baruch Mabam. We're continuing our series on Sefer Bereishis. The Shurim on Bereishis are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umishbachta, Le'iloi Nishmas Reb Shloima, Eliezer Ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Lezecher Nishmas, her mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. They should believe Melitza Yisharim for their whole family. Ad Bias Goel Tzadek. Okay, we have a very interesting subject this evening, which not only is it rooted in the Parsha, it's a historical subject, and surprisingly, it is connected to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel. You ever hear the book Yechezkel? Very good sefer. There are no haskamos, but still, it's worthwhile to learn it. The Navi Yechezkel tells us, "Koy Amar Hashem Lekim." So says the Almighty. Yan Oimrim Lachem. Because they tell you, Eichelas Odomat. You guys eat people. You eat humans. Umishakelas Goye Chayis. And you expel bodies. Oh, I'm muted. Okay. And you expel bodies. Lachain. Thank you. Lachain. Adam lo yisoich li'oid. You will not eat any more people. V'goyech lo yisachash li'oid. You will not expel any more people. No'om Hashem lekem. So they, until now you guys were eating people, you were consuming humans. From now on, no more of that. You can eat chicken for supper. Do not eat no more people. V'lo yashmia elayich oid kli masagem. I'm not going to have to listen to the shame of the Gentiles. V'cherpas amim lo yisisi oid. You will not have to bear the abuse and the embarrassment of the nations of the world. V'goyayich, v'goyvayich lo yisachash li oid. You will not have to expel any bodies. Nor mashem lekem. A very unusual prophecy. The Navi is saying that the Goyim would say, you eat people, no more eating people. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I won't have to hear anybody ever say again that you eat people. What's this talking about? Says the Abarbanel, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, that unfortunately, throughout Jewish history, we've been accused and we've been abused because of the notorious accusations of the blood libels, which began almost 1,000 years ago. And in almost every country, almost every city on the European continent, Jews were accused, specifically before Pesach time, on Erev Pesach, of slaughtering a Christian child and using the blood for the making of matzos and for use on charoises and in the dalet koisais. And therefore the Abarbanel says, the Navi already predicted it. The Navi prophecy that the time will come where the nations will say, you eat people. And God is promising that in the end of the days, this will stop. They won't say that anymore. They'll realize that it's a fabrication. They'll realize that it's a nonsense. And we won't have to suffer and tolerate the great insult and shame of the accusations of the blood libel. Okay, so this is something which is predicted beforehand by the prophet. And Be'ezus Hashem will come to an end. However, once it began, maybe in the 12th century, it still continued into this very century, and you could research it. There were cases and libels up to quite recently. And when I say recently, I mean this decade. Okay. Now, we've mentioned in the past that this was something that Jewish communities suffered from throughout the generations. We bring over here that the Baal HaTosfos, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Shalom, he wrote a piyut in memory of the terrible blood libels, and Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov, in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, he lists and goes through all the various libels throughout history, as well as in the Sefer Gezeirois Ashkenaz Usvard. So there's a long history of blood libels, mostly on the Christian continent, on the European continent. In fact, Abarbanel says that this is something that we suffered throughout the generations under Edom. This is specific to Edom. But as we're going to see, this is not specific to Edom. Blood libels occurred not only in the Christian lands, but in Muslim lands, and in Eretz Yisrael, and in Damascus. In fact, a couple of weeks in a row, we spoke about Moses Montefiore and how he saved the community in Damascus in 1840 from the Damascus Affair. And this is how we're going to begin tonight. I just want to go through with you some of the cases in history recorded by none other than Reb Chaim Falaji in his Sefer about Moses Montefiore. He records seven historical accounts of blood libels. Many of them happened not in Christian countries, in Muslim countries, and how Klal Yisrael were miraculously saved. Let's stop for a moment, and I want to share with you a thought that I once heard from Harav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and that is, it is very important to study blood libels. Because can there be a greater fabrication against any human being than the blood libel against the Jewish people? Can there be something that is more false than a blood libel against the Jewish people? I mean, is there any community in the world which is more distant from murder than the Jewish people? Is there any community in the world that's more distant from the consumption of blood than the Jewish people? If somebody gets a paper cut and they're eating a piece of bread and they get a little on the bread, most people toss the whole loaf. People get very nervous, and especially in matzah, if a little blood gets in the matzah, it becomes chametz. Blood is machmetz. So can there be anything further than the from the truth than a blood libel? And yet, millions of people believed it. Many tenets of their religion are based on it. And that's a fact. So think about it. Says Rav Miller, Davar hayotza min haklal, loy lelamed al atzma yotza, lelamed al kalkula yotza. If millions of people can believe absolute lie, not even based on a kernel of truth, then use that as a barometer to evaluate many of the things that they believe. Sometimes we're like, well, millions of people believe, maybe we should look into it, maybe there's something there. Recognize what they believe for a moment. If this was able to pass, then use that as davar hayotza min haklal lelamed al haklal kula yotza. Okay, so the first historical account that Reb Chaim Falaji cites is something that happened in Izmir. Chaim Falaji was in the 19th century, so this goes back to the 18th century. One of the great rabbanim in Izmir, Reb Chaim Abulafia, who wrote the Sefer Eitz Chaim, that there was a blood libel in Izmir, and the rabbi was summoned, and when the rabbi walked into the room, he illuminated, he shone, he was so full of light that the sultan was startled and surprised, and somehow, immediately, they discovered the child was really alive, and the whole thing was put to an end. So that was one particular miracle that Reb Chaim Falaji quotes. He says, Hashem Elokim Emes Harenu Yodoi HaNifla'a Benisim. So that was one particular account. Another account he brings from the Sefer Chemdas Yomim, on a commentary on the Pisgah, Vehisha Amdala Veisenim. Can you do me a favor? There's a box all the way at the end of the hall. I left all the way at the end of the hall with a box of Svarim. The one on the Haggadah. There, in the Vehisha Amda, the Chemdas Yomim says that there's a particular situation where the Sultan, one night, he couldn't sleep. He was tossing and turning. He cannot get any rest. So he gets out of bed and he walks outside into the courtyard. And in the courtyard, he sees two guys. They're looking around, and in the cover of the darkness, they have a body, and they throw the body into the Jewish quarter and they run out. And the Sultan tells his men, go check out, see what's going on. And the men find out who these two people were. And sure enough, in the morning, one of the religious leaders of the community, they come to the Sultan, they said, you know, the Jews, they murdered somebody last night and they have their body in the quarter, in their quarter. So the Sultan summoned all of his residents to the palace, and the Sultan hears out the case, and this religious leader said that, Sultan, if you don't, thank you very much, if you don't take revenge against the Jewish people right now, then I'm going to incite a mob against them, and it's going to be bad for the entire community. So the Sultan gathers the whole community together, and he hears the claim of the blood libel, and he turns to the Jewish community and says, I have a question for you. He said, really? On what? I have a question for you on the Pasuk in Tehillim. What's the question? He says, what does it mean? Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan shamer Yisrael. God doesn't doze and he doesn't sleep. So what's going on? Obviously, if he doesn't doze, he doesn't sleep, because if he doesn't even doze off, then of course he doesn't sleep. So the Jews started to say, this pshat, that pshat. The Sultan says, you guys don't know how to learn Tehillim. I'll tell you pshat, and hinei layonim leishon shamas. He said like this, last night I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't doze, I couldn't do anything. So I woke up and I walked into the courtyard and I saw him and that guy carrying a Christian child after they murdered it, throwing it into the Jewish quarter. And I realized that this whole blood libel is all bogus. And then I finally understood pshat. Hine lo yanum. God doesn't even doze. V'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. And anyone who's willing to guard the Jewish people, he doesn't let them sleep. He didn't let me sleep so that I could be guardian over the Jewish people. And he hung those two guys and he put an end to that particular blood libel. So that's the second account. The third account, Reb Chaim Falaji quotes a very surprising sefer. He quotes Shivchei HaBal Shem Tov. A few years ago, we had a series on the sefer Shivchei HaBesht. And basically, by the Hasidim, it's a beginning to bake matzah, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos. And they say hello when they break the matzah. Okay. One Erev Pesach after Chatzos, the Baal Shem's Talmidim gather, and what's the Baal Shem doing? He's schmoozing. Who's he schmoozing with? With the pastor, with the priest. And they're schmoozing, and they're kibitzing, and they're discussing, and back and forth. And then the Baal Shem Tov invites the pastor into his house, and he gives him some Pesach honey, and they look like they're best friends. And it's a very short while before Pesach. Finally, the Besht comes out. He says, let's go, let's bake the matzah. He said, Rebbe, you had no better time to schmooze with the priest than Erev Pesach. The Besht says, I saw Baruch HaKodesh. This priest was going to throw a body of a kid into the Jewish quarter. So I figured I'll be mechanef him a little bit. I'll schmooze with him. I'll show him respect. And that put an end to that particular blood libel. Then you have the famous story of, in Yerushalayim, of Rabbeinu Kloinimus. Rabbeinu Kloinimus Balanes. You know that story? Say no, otherwise what am I going to do, you know? You never heard that story, right? So basically, what happened was, the Yishmaelim killed a kid, threw his body into the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses, and Rav Kolonimus, the Rechem Elijah says, he did what he did. Just imagine what that is. And he prayed, and he probably did some kind of Kabbalistic stuff. Don't try that at home. And all of a sudden, the kid woke up, and the kid said, he did it. He pointed to the Ishmaeli who did it, and he gave all the details, and then he went back to the Olam HaEmes. And that blood libel was put to rest through the miracle of Rabbeinu Kolonimus. And then, 16 years ago, in Yerushalayim, says Reb Chaim Falaji, there were two soldiers that were fighting. If you want to follow on, Sam, on page 2, second column, third paragraph, in Yerushalayim, two soldiers were fighting, and one knocked out the other. And he died in the Jewish quarter, and it was going to be bad news for the Jews. And the whole army gathered to attack the Jewish community until God put an idea into the murderer's head. The murderer started going around, you know why I killed that guy? Because he got under my nerves and he really annoyed me, and his hands were full of blood. And in the last second, that blood libel was avoided. And then, says Reb Chaim Falaji, in the city of Kushta. Now, a little Jewish history over here. Where is Kushta? Well, Turkey, yeah. That, right. Where? Istanbul, very good. Istanbul is Kushta. And Kushta was a major city, the capital of Turkey. So whenever you see in Sfarim Kushta, that's Istanbul or Constantinople. Those are all synonymous. And there was a particular sultan who he was very upset at his governor. So the governor realized that his life was on the line. So what do you do when your life is on the line? You go to a Jewish community, you dress up like a Hasidish guy, and then you're hidden. And that's what he did. He dressed up like a Jewish guy for a year and a half. And he participated, he came to Minyan. He was lucky. He was not on Yeshiva World News after a short while that he made a gewaldige shidduch. Now, he was able to avoid that. Nobody knew. This guy, he used to go to Pesach Sedarim, and he dressed up. He even spoke between Mincha Marav a couple of years. This guy really had it going. And finally, the Sultan gave word that he forgave the governor, and the governor took off the Yiddish garb, and he came back, and he was better than ever. While he was in his Jewish garb, one particular Pesach, he saw a guy got a paper cut, and, you know, he got a little blood on one of the matzah, and it was like, you know, a big saga. They threw out the whole run of matzah. And sure enough, a little while later, the Jewish community was accused of killing a child and using their blood to bake the matzahs. And this governor got up and he said, I want to tell you something. I know intimately the Jewish community. I was there. I was one of them. And I saw that if even a little speck of blood gets anywhere near their matzah, they throw out the whole matzah, and that put an end to that blood libel. So says Rav Chaim Falaji, the same thing happened in our times in Rhodes, in Damascus, until we were rescued by none other than Moshe Montefiore. And now in the repositories in Izmir, we have a letter from the Sultan that from now on, anytime anybody claims the Jewish people spilled any blood for matzos, it's all nonsense, it's all sheker v'chazav. Okay, this is some of the history of the blood libels. So here's a million-dollar question, and perhaps this is a question we've discussed in the past, but I found some really amazing information about this. And this is addressed by none other than Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damai. He says there's a principle that sheker that does not have a granule of truth cannot exist, cannot be sustained. And yet there is no more blatant lie in the history of mankind than the blood libel. It's not even based on a kernel of truth. It's like take the most outrageous, impossible situation and claim that it happens. That's what a blood libel is. So how come the Ribbono Shel Olam has allowed the blood libel to be sustained and to continue for generation after generation, community after community, for almost 1,000 years? Why would God allow this to happen?
It's good against evil. It's always like that.
But such a blatant lie, God would never allow this to happen unless it's a punishment for something that the Jewish people did. And we know the ways of God are quid pro quo, mida keneged mida. What exactly did the Jewish people do to deserve that we should be accused of spilling blood, even though it has no basis in reality? Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, I'm afraid to say this. And the truth is, I'm not worthy to say this. But if I would be worthy, I would say, and if I'm not right, God should forgive me. Im shagisi, Hashem yichaper ba'adi, says Rabbi Chanan. I would say that we are punished mida keneged mida because we committed the first blood libel. The sale of Yosef. We took Yosef. We shechted a goat. We took his tunic. We dipped it in the blood. And we say, hey Yaakov, haker na, does this look familiar? And they made Yaakov think that Yosef was slaughtered. Blood libel. False blood libel. Yosef was alive and kicking. We fooled him with dam. And therefore, mida keneged mida, for all generations we are punished with the blood libels until the end of time. Perhaps you've heard this, Rabbi Chanan. We've said over this, Rabbi Chanan, before. Amazingly, in Reb Chaim Falaji's Sefer on Moses Montefiore, Reb Chaim Falaji Agavurcha says, and why did the blood libels happen to us? By the way, just as an aside, there was another sefer written about the Damascus affair, number 13. It's called Minchas Yehuda, Yehuda al-Kali, that there was a Jew, a rabbi, who had a dream, and in his dream, it was revealed to him that because Jews were not careful in avoiding their wives when they were a nida, they didn't avoid dam nida, we were punished with blood libels. And Rabbi Yehuda al-Kali says, heaven forbid, chas v'sham, suga b'shayshan, we would never violate such a thing. And it seems like ultimately he did accept that reason. But Rabbi Chaim Falaji writes, take a look on your sheet, number 5 on your sheet, ul'aniyaz dai tinira, that which Rabbi Chanan wrote probably in the 1930s, that he wrote he's not worthy to say, and if he's mistaken, God should forgive him, and if he would be worthy, he would say it. Reb Chaim Falaji already wrote it 100 years before, that in fact, the reason for the blood libels, almost 100 years before, is because we took Kesoines HaKerna, HaKesoines Bincha, Vayitvelu as HaKesoines Badam, and therefore, throughout the generations, we were punished with the accusation of the blood libel. So what Rabbi Chanan suggested and is afraid to say, Rabbi Chaim Falaji says. Now, in the past we asked the following question, because let's sort of follow the approach of Rabbi Chanan. Even though nowadays it seems like most Gedolei Yisrael, if tragedy happens, they're very hesitant to ascribe a reason for it. Even the Holocaust, it became very controversial if we're entitled to offer reasons for it, or we have to say, you know, the ways of God are mysterious. But it seems like before the Holocaust, whenever something happened, the Gedolim attributed absolutely a reason for the tragedy. It seems like from the Holocaust and on, it's a very controversial practice. Rabbi Yashiv is known to have said, when tragedy happened, Ainli Asek Ben Astarais. You know, it's above my pay grade. Holocaust? Not going to get into that subject here. Pre-Holocaust? Every tragedy has been ascribed to a particular cause and a particular chait. Here we have Rabbi Chanan. So let's follow Rabbi Chanan's path. And regarding the blood libels, let's ask, well, okay, we understand it happened from Mechiras Yosef. Well, why did the blood libels always happen Pesach time? Like, why did God allow the blood libels to occur Pesach time? And that question is actually asked by Rav Matisyahu Solomon. Hashem should send him Refuah Shleima. And Rav Matisyahu offers a very lengthy exposition of why the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed the blood libels to happen Pesach time. And basically the point is that every Pesach we need to remember not only the Exodus, not only the redemption, but what put us into the exile in the first place. And why did we go to Golos Mitzrayim in the first place? Because we sold Yosef. And we know the Jewish calendar is a living calendar. And every year Pesach, we sort of have to ask ourselves, you know, why did we go down and how did we get out? And if we still have a similar chait to Mechiras Yosef, namely Sinas Chinam, then we're still accountable for the type of sin of Mechiras Yosef. And therefore the Mechiras Yosef Avera sort of is aroused every year at Pesach time. That was the approach of Rav Matisyahu Solomon. Oyem and Oyra, I found Reb Chaim Falaji says something differently. I mean, this is really surprising to me because Rav Matisyahu Solomon, you know, Rav Chanan, were this century. Reb Chaim Falaji was much earlier. And he has a little bit of a different spin on it. And I would like to add to what he's saying, maybe he even means this. Reb Chaim Falaji basically says like this, look, the Jewish people have to pay the price for Mechiras Yosef. Why Pesach time? Because God wants to protect us. How does He protect us? He makes the accusation and the danger come about through the performance of the mitzvah, so that Shoimer Mitzvah La Yeda Davara. This way, it's coming about through a mitzvah. The mitzvah will offer us protection. Instead of it happening, you know, on the third Tuesday of November, it happens on Pesach through the matzah, so that the matzah offers us protection. I think you could still ask on that, okay, so, you know, it could happen through Shofar, it could happen through Lulav, it could happen through many, many mitzvahs. He doesn't explain, maybe we could say as follows, he gives seven historical accounts of blood libels that miracles occurred, you know, supernatural occurrences happened to save us from the blood libel. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim Falaji, Reb Chaim Abulafia, he's shining like the sun and he scares off, you know, the emperor. Or Reb Kolonimus, brings the kid back to life and the kid says it was him. Or it was through some story where some governor was a Jew for a year and a half and he came back and he or the king couldn't sleep. So in all these seven cases, miraculously, supernaturally, we were saved from the blood libel. Now, if there was ever a time of the year that it would be ominous, if there was ever a good time of the year which is predisposed to miracles happening to protect the Jewish people, it's got to be the night of the Seder, it's got to be Pesach time. So maybe in the approach of Chaim Falaji, the Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrates that it happened that time of the year because it's Nisan, you know? Reb Ezra told me, you know, you told me like 9 years ago from Reb Shloimeh, from the Masuk Rav Shlomo Levenstein, thank you, that Nisan is from Nisim. It's a month of miracles. I remember you told me in Torah Semes. So if there's ever a time of miracles for the Jewish people, that God needs to protect us with miracles, it would be that time of the year. And therefore, maybe the Rav Sham allows it to happen then, because if ever a time that he needs to tap in and to access, like Rashi says, Vayecholik Aleihem Laila, that the night that Avram Avinu defeated the four kings, Hashem put away the second half for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that night is Leil Shimurim. It's already designated for miracles. Maybe that's why it happened then. By the way,
at some point it doesn't end. It just continues forever.
Okay, so let's offer some insight to that. So when's this coming to an end? Hopefully it did. We hope. We don't know for sure. But it comes out then that there are two great sins in the history of the Jewish people. They're never depleted. One of them, of course, is Chedo Egal. Uviyoim Pakti Ufakadati Aleichem. Rashi says whenever God visits punishment on the Jewish people, he always visits some punishment from the Chedo Egal. The Meshech Chachma says, but the same way the Chedo Egal is visited upon the Jewish people in every generation, Mechiras Yosef is visited upon the Jewish people in every generation. And he even says that this is alluded to in the Yom Kippur davening. We say, Kiata Sochan Li Yisrael Umachalan L'Shivtei Yishuran. We say, Kiata Sochan Li Yisrael Umachalan L'Shivtei Yishuran. Now, this whole concept that we have to keep on being punished for a sin that we didn't do doesn't sound that reasonable. Why do I have to suffer for someone else's sin? La Yimsu Aves Abanim. But we know Chazal say that when is Hashem poiked avoin avos albanim? When the kids do the same avera. So the Meshech Chachma learns there are two, let's say, father sins in the history of the Jewish people. There's a Ched Ho'egal, which is Bein Adam Lamakayim. And whenever we sin Bein Adam Lamakayim, God gives us a little punishment of the Ched Ho'egal. And then there's Mechiras Yosef, which is Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. And whenever we sin Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, Hashem visits upon us some of the Mechiras Yosef. So he says, Ki ata solchan li Yisrael. The sin of the Egal, what did the Jewish people say when they made the Egal? Ela Elohecha Yisrael. And how did God forgive them? Solachti kidvarecha. So we say in the davening, Ki ata solchan, you said solachti kidvarecha li Yisrael, for the Chedo Egal when they said, Ela Elohecha Yisrael. Umachalan and your Meichel l'shivtei Yeshurun, that's the tribes. For the Chedo Mechiras Yosef. So this idea of Rabbi Chanan, that the sin of Mechiras Yosef keeps on going and going and going, is also, clearly the Meshech Chachma says the same idea, that the Chedo HaEgel is the father sin of Bein Adam Makam, and the Mechiras Yosef is the father of Bein Adam Makam. Now, I'm going to give you a little preview of the Shiram Pashas Kisisa. Because if Mechiras Yosef brought about the blood libel, which is a tragedy in every generation, then what reoccurring tragedy in Jewish life did the Ched Ho'egal bring about? This is mind-boggling. But I can't say it, because then you're not going to come back Kisisa. Okay? So, but think about it. If Mechiras Yosef is repeated in every generation with the blood libel, what exactly, people are not making golden calves in every generation. Are they? I can't believe, because I read this paragraph from Rabbi Chanan many, many times. I don't know why. I never read the end of the paragraph. I saw it today. I could not believe it. It's really mind-boggling. Okay. So here's what I'm thinking. I am not worthy to say the following. Who am I to say the following? I don't even want to say if I'm mistaken, then Hashem should forgive. I can't even say that. So the way I'll say it is that following the same line of reasoning of Rabbi Chanan, maybe he would say this. Of course, I'm not worthy to say it, but just food for thought, taking Rabbi Chanan to the next level. Because Abar Benel said, throughout the generations, we've suffered from the blood libel. Let's see if we could find it under whose regime. Look at number 2, the third line, Bein B'nei Edom. Among the Edomites. So I have one ha'ara on that is that really true? Did we only suffer the blood libel in Christian lands? We just read in Reb Chaim Falaji like 5 or 6 or 7 accounts of blood libels that occurred in Damascus, in Jerusalem with Yishmaelim. It does not seem that the blood libel is specific for Edom. Now, if it would be specific to Edom, it would be beautiful, because we always said many, many times that Yosef is the antithesis of Esav and Edom. Yosef is the lahava that destroys Edom. So it would be very reasonable. For the sin of Mechiras Yosef, we suffer under Esav. But why are we suffering blood libels under Yishmael? So, is the sale of Yosef the only blood libel that happened in Parshas Vayeshev? I mean, we know that Yosef brought Dibah Samra El Avihem. Yosef brought a false report about their brothers. What did Yosef say? So Yosef said, according to Rev Yehuda, they were Mezalzel, the B'nai Bila and the B'nai Zilpah. And according to Reb Shimon, they acted inappropriately with Arayos. But Reb Meir says, well, what did Yosef tell the father? That the brothers were eating chicken for supper, but they didn't shech the chicken. They bit straight into the chicken. They ate Eiver Menachai. That's Vayaveh Yosef di basam ra'alavim. The Shlach Kodesh asks, was this true or was this not true? I mean, it can't be true. The brothers weren't eating Eiver Menachai. It can't, but on the other hand, it doesn't say that Yosef was moitzi diba. Moitzi diba implies fabrication. He was mevi diba, which implies it was true. So what were the brothers doing? So of course there's the famous approach of the Parshas Drachim, that the brothers held they were Yisraelim, and we know Yisrael, that shechs an animal, and the animal's mefarcheses, it's still moving around, but it's not dead, you could eat it. And Yosef held they were b'nei noyach l'chumra, and they couldn't eat it. But the Shlach HaKadosh has an approach. Now, what does it mean they were mezalzel with the shvachos? So he says like this, don't try this at home. By the way, last time I said don't try this at home, somebody raised their hand. Why not? But really, don't try this at home. What were these arayos that the brothers were fooling around with? Well, what's going on? So the Shlach HaKadosh says that the avos, they knew the Sefer HaYetzirah, like Rava, and they could create things. Now, if you create a chicken for supper, you don't have to shech the chicken, right? OU is trying to make different kinds of meats, and I mean, it's very simple. Just use Sefer HaYetzirah. If you make a Sefer HaYetzirah, you don't have to shech. You could eat Eiver Menachai. It's not alive. So what the brothers did was they were making beef from Sefer HaYetzirah. It's much healthier. It's much more lean. Less oxidation, it doesn't affect the heart. You know, animals created with Sefer HaYetzirah are much healthier. And even the Noshim that they were accused of, they also made them a Sefer HaYetzirah. But the B'nai Bila, B'nai Zilpah, they also wanted to get in on the action, because they didn't want to eat like these hamburgers that are full of fat. So the brother said, you can't use Sefer HaYetzirah, you're not miyuchas. You have to be miyuchas to use Sefer HaYetzirah. That's a rule in Kabbalah. You have to be miyuchas. So in that sense, they were mezalzel b'nei hashvachos l'shlach. The bottom line is, there's a little bit of a blood libel going on against the brothers. I mean, they're being accused of eating Eiver Menachai. So, is it possible? Would Rabbi Chanan say that there are really two blood libels going on? There's against the brothers, which is a little bit more innocuous. I don't take it personally. It was a little bit more innocuous. And there's a libel against Yosef. And maybe, you know, in the B'nai, in the Eretz, in the Esav, we suffer from Mechiras Yosef. And Eretz Yishmael, we know Keneged Yishmael is Malchus Beis David. We suffer from the accusation against the B'nai Yehuda. Who knows? He was silent,
yep.
Which implies he agreed with it.
But they do.
We don't know.
Maybe.
It's not reported. He was shasak. Marv Raboisai, then I came across something unbelievable. The who?
No.
Right. In the Siddur of the Arizal says, how much oil should you use on Hanukkah? He says you should use Mem Dalid Darham. I don't know what Darham is, some kind of ancient measurement. But make sure you use Mem Dalid. Why? Skulasoi lihinatsel meharigas dam. Using 44 measures of oil on Hanukkah will protect you from being murdered. That's which is always a positive thing. You know? You always want to be protected meharigas dam. By the way, how many candles do we light over the course of Hanukkah? 44. It protects us from dam. The 44 candles of Hanukkah protect us from dam. 44 dam. Like, what in the world do Hanukkah lecht got to do with being protected from harigas dam? Well, maybe because, you know, Vayeshev is the parsha of Hanukkah and Vayeshev is the root of the blood libels? Says the Imre Noyam of Jacob, he says the pshat in the Arizal is pashat. When did Kayin kill Hevel? I don't know. All it says is, he was born on the sixth day of creation, on the very first day that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they had Kayin and Hevel. And how much longer did it take for Kayin to kill Hevel? 50 days, says the Medrash, Miketz Yomim, B'Tishrei Nivrei Olam, from Sukkis until Hanukkah. He killed him on Hanukkah. Kayin killed Hevel on Hanukkah. And God said, hey, where's your brother? Because, I don't know. Hashem Rachi Anochi. He faked him out. He tried to cover it up. Rav says, now, kol demei achicha tzayakim melei minu adama. First blood libel in history, Hanukkah. Kayin killed Hevel. Says the Imre Noyam that the reason why the Mem Dalet Neirois of Hanukkah and the Mem Dalet measurements of Shemen on Hanukkah protect from Shvichas Damim, because on Hanukkah you need extra protection from that, because the first murder in history happened on Hanukkah. That's what the Medrash says. Comes the Bnei Yisachar, and he says, Hanukkah is Gematria. Dam, Adam, 89. And he doesn't really explain. Hanukkah is Gematria, Dam, Adam.
And Hashem Tevot, Melech David is also Dam.
Melech David, there you go. So, I'm just here to point out some of these very interesting ha'arais, that it seems like the age-old tragedy of the blood libel, according to Rabbi Chanan, according to Rabbi Chaim Falaji, is rooted in Mechiras Yosef. And the Meshech Chachma as well writes, Mechiras Yosef is an Avera that we have to deal with in all generations. And Rabbi Matisyahu Salman says specifically, Pesach time, we have to be conscious of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, because that's what brought us down to Mitzrayim in the first place. And we added, maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam made it happen, Pesach time, because it's a time of miracles, and he wanted it to be a time that we could tap into these Nisim to protect us at this Zman of the year. And maybe these two accusations, Mechiras Yosef and Aver Menachai, do they correspond to different areas? Basi Rak La'Oirar, just pointing it out. But it does seem like there's a connection between Chanukah, Vayeshev, the Mem Dalet Neirois, which Arizal says protects from Ritzichas HaNefesh. Chanukah is Gematria Dam Adam. So we hope the Ribbono Shel Olam should protect us from any accusations. And this should finally be put to rest and be put to bed. And the Meshech Chachma says that there's a very simple way not to have to face the sin of Mechiras Yosef, and that is if we elevate ourselves in the area of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, and we're able to come together, which of course, Chanukah is a Zman of Achdus Yisrael, where all of Klal Yisrael come together. Specifically, it's the only time in Halacha where the Mechaber Paskins like Tosfos, and the Rama, Paskins like the Rambam. The Berhetev points out, it's the only time in Halacha the Mechaber Paskins like Tosfos, Mahajim and a Mahajim, one person lights. The Rama Paskins like the Rambam, that everybody in the family lights. So we should be Zoicha through this Yom Tov to overcome any Ketrugim on Klal Yisrael, and be Zoicha to all the great Oirois and Ashba of Chanukah, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.